Hi folks, Takiya here. This episode was recorded during a Make New Mistakes live stream 2 weeks ago on the Mischief From Home Twitch. We've got exciting streams happening daily, so check them out at twitch.tv/mischieffromhome. Now, while I have your attention, I also wanted to let you know that we've just launched a gift card valid for any of our events. We know there's a lot of uncertainty right now, and this is a great way that you can support Mischief while keeping your options open on which of our conventions you want to go to in the future. Each gift card is valid for 2 years and comes with at least a 20% added value. So if you spend $100 today on a gift card, you'll have $120 to spend later on a ticket. You can save money, support Mischief now, and party with us later. You can get a gift card at mischiefmerch.com/giftcard. Okay, on with the episode.
This feels very much like the beginning of a podcast, honestly. Am I live? Am I doing this right?
It's exactly the same as the beginning of a podcast.
Welcome to Make New Mistakes,
a show about being in business,
being in charge,
and being the one to totally screw it up.
Hosted by two lady C-suite types
who are still learning, like you.
All right, we are live.
Welcome to our first semi-live Make New Mistakes.
This is great. We're like a grown-up podcast. Takiya's knocking things over on her dining room table where she is doing this live stream from. But yeah, welcome to an episode of Make New Mistakes.
I'm Melissa.
And I'm Takiya.
That's and we do this podcast every other week or so, talking about the things that our line is. It's a podcast about being in business, being in charge, and being the one to screw it all up.
I'm seeing lately, that we have some sound problems.
We're having sound problems.
I think I might be
That's
waiting
for not new.
Yeah, basically. I'm really excited for this to become a podcast episode also.
Why? Because it knocks out one thing we had to do this week?
Well, yes, it does. But additionally, just like all of the like behind the scenes-y, sound problems, audio is not working.
Yeah.
I think makes a great episode of Make New Mistakes.
Yes. Yes, it does. It's pretty normal for stuff like this to go wrong. We just get to cut it out all the time.
Which I'm sure we'll cut some of this out. But we should leave some of it in because it's got the like magic of being live.
Magic. Oh, Sam says he's hearing it.
Oh. Uh-oh. Hearing what?
What have we been broadcasting to the world, Sam? Yeah.
I mean, nothing that we said was like...
Nothing. Nothing that's not nice, but still... You always want to know when you're being broadcast versus when you're not. It's always good. It's just in theory, it's just good.
Yeah.
Oh, hey. I think I see us. We've got it.
And we're back. Oh, God. That was,
Are we again, back? Are we on?
Takiya
Are we
live? Knocking things over.
I've been recording the audio this whole time.
Me too. So that'll be fun.
Yeah. So, you know, welcome to Make New Mistakes. You just witnessed one live.
Yeah. You just get through it.
I literally just got an alert that said my internet connection is unstable. I've never seen that alert happen ever in my life. It was new. I'm wondering if it's Zoom that's doing it. But welcome to Make No Mistake, the show about being in business, being in charge, and being the one to screw it all up.
Though we are not. I would say that, like, yeah, yeah. Hands down.
lately, it is definitively not us. So lately, this show is about being in business, being in charge, and what to do when the entire world conspires to tank your entire industry. It's not the entire world conspiring. I'm just saying it may seem like that at times.
I mean, definitely some bacterium out there that are, like, out to get us specifically.
Out to get us specifically. So, what are we talking about here?
Well, this is going to be kind of our part two to the last episode that we put out, which was about the coronavirus. I think that we're still deeply in the midst of it and figuring out what the, you know, far-reaching impact of this is going to be and how businesses are going to sustain this. I think people are starting to see some of the things that we talked about in our last episode, all of the anxieties that we were discussing are starting to be made public, not necessarily from our business, but from businesses writ large. And so I think it's cool to talk about it some more from the small business perspective.
How are you feeling?
I think that was going to be my question.
Yeah. See? Yeah. I didn't have the house burning down nightmare anymore. I did have some other nightmares that I don't want to detail, frankly, because they're a little scary and they're a little bit on the nose. So, yes, we are having, as I imagine a lot of small businesses are feeling, because here's the overview of what it's like to feel like this right now. As tragic as what's going on is, as tragic as all kinds of big world global events like this are, everything else we've seen has had an endpoint.
Yeah.
A hurricane, 9/11, all these things are incredibly tragic. That doesn't change that. But when the big impact is over, mostly, except with like Katrina, but when the big impact is over, that tends to be recovery mode.
Yes.
That has an economic impact and you worry about it for sure. But we are nowhere close to recovery mode yet. And we've also never seen something not just affect our industry, but the whole economy shut, just shut down completely. We're young business leaders. We've obviously never been in something like this before. And I think stressing is the word.
Yeah. I think I use the word unprecedented like 4 times a day right now. Every email is like, well, as you know, we're going through a bit of an unprecedented time.
Unprecedented time. Amid this time.
We are in the middle.
Trying to figure it out amid the coronavirus. So how I'm feeling goes day to day. Mm-hmm. I've been better in the past couple of days as the shock and panic and fear sort of, we adjust to things a lot. We, as humans, you know, so like we've sort of like absorbed like radiation, we sort of like absorbed that and now going into an active phase. But the shock and panic and fear, oh god, everything we've done for 10 years is going to be ruined, you know, all of that is sort of at a parboil, at least personally. And now I'm shifting into action and projections and strategy and how to get through it.
Yes.
How about you?
Yeah, I think that that's fair. I'm also starting to breathe. I think that there's a moment where something crazy, unexpected is happening and you literally just hold your breath. And it's like you're not like you don't want to move too quickly. You don't want to like disrupt anything because every step that you take feels kind of like it could be cataclysmic. Like everything feels big. And so I am finally breathing. Which, you know, is a really great place to be. Everyone keep breathing. There's a reason they tell you that. Your brain needs oxygen. And so, like, metaphorically, I am in the same way that you're describing, like, starting to be able to see things clearly and to think through long-ranging strategy and to, you know, breathe and also accept where we are as the new normal, which I think is something that like both personally and professionally people are having to go through, whether you're at a small business or a large company, like accepting the fact that like working from home, not being able to, you know, go out and get X, Y, or Z thing that you might want. Or honestly, my most recent one was like not being able to get things delivered from Amazon, like accepting where we are as the new normal has also been really helpful in like getting through the initial kind of like panic onset, oh God, of it all. And I think that now we're in a place to take a swing at figuring out what it looks like, you know, 2 months, 3 months from now.
Here's a couple of things that have helped from my perspective. First of all, our team. We are event organizers. We are used to crises situations. Nobody's used to this, but we're used to saying, okay, throw out the rundown, start over, do everything over right now. We did it during the blizzard. We reorganized all of BroadwayCon, the first BroadwayCon, on our feet over 3 days. It was insane. This is not exactly like that, but there is a familiarity to this feel of, okay, everybody get together, all hands on deck, whatever you thought your job was, that nobody cares. Here's what you have to do, you know? And seeing that sort of that instinct kick in, and everybody just sort of being all hands on deck to create these Mischief from Home streams, to create a couple of other things that we're going to be rolling out over the next week, to offer scary but wise counsel to each other,
yes,
unblinking counsel to each other, to be there for each other, to remind each other to drink water. There's been so much camaraderie going on among the team, and like hard work to do what we can do in the meantime while also retaining our values and our soul, that has been really heartening, and actually has been a very demonstrable step getting through this right now, this very uncertain time. The other thing is that over 10 years in business now, we have created a lot of really good relationships with people who may be in a position to help us. Mm-hmm. And I know that I will be reaching out to these people to help us if, you know, things do not improve in the short term for the events industry. Knowing that I can do that, and then in the meantime, one by one, they're all reaching out to us to ask how we are, how we're doing, and if they can be of assistance, which is really wonderful, because business, it can be hard and can be cold, but if you make the right relationships over time, in a moment like this, you can find yourself surrounded by people willing to help, which is really cool. That's by no means saying that everything's fine and we're fine and everything's fine, but it is
heartening
hope that will pull you. Absolutely, it's heartening.
Yeah, absolutely. So kind of speaking of all of the things that we are now jumping in to do in this new era, are there any things that you've seen other small businesses do that you want to steal, like ideas you want to steal, or like things that are exciting that are going on outside of Mischief?
All the live streaming has been really great.
Yeah.
It's
like, I can go to a fitness class every hour of the day, it feels like.
Isn't it amazing? It's also incredible watching people say, you know what? Right now, this thing that I have is free because you need it right now. It's also smart business. All these apps that are getting people onto their platform for free in the future, you know, they're doing the right thing now, and they're building their customer base like crazy in the future. So that's really cool. Something that we're considering is that people do want to support us. People do want to help a company that might be affected, that means something to them, as we're very lucky that Mischief does, might want to help them get through. So we're developing ways to do that, so that that might equal a ticket to a future event or some other benefit. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, you can buy safely without worrying about a specific date. And so we're working on unrolling that. That came from a variety of different people, seeing what a variety of different people were doing.
Absolutely. And like a lot of companies are like expanding their customer base, perhaps like small local businesses are now, you know, shipping stuff like nationwide, which is really cool. I think Abby mentioned like her local coffee shop, it will send you coffee wherever you are. And that's like, I think, a really interesting way that we are kind of coming together as like a global community. It's been really cool to see the number of people who are like, oh, now that you've had to go virtual, I can join in on this thing that I wouldn't have been able to in the past, which is really mm-hmm. exciting. And I'm very curious to see like how this holds up once things are back to kind of like IRL brick and mortar kind of businesses. Because I don't know if this means that like it feels like while flattening the curve, we've also like kind of flattened the, I don't know, like global market, like it, like everything, it feels like more accessible. Yeah. Things feel more accessible. And less, I will, like, I'm not gonna lie, like some of it's been challenging, but there's a lot of things where it's like, I would have never gone to this, or I would have never been able to do X, Y, or Z. And now I can, because everyone's changing just a little bit to make things more accessible.
Yeah, we're also sort of reminding people we exist that might have forgotten, you know, over the years. Like, saying, like, hey, we're doing a Free Wizard Rock show has sort of reminded people about LeakyCon. Not that they needed reminding, but I'm seeing old faces and old friends sort of come back in. And I think a sharp reminder was made to me, at least, that maybe we don't do enough of this as it is. Enough community building in between the events.
Yes.
So that we can all, you know, be a community and be have touchstones. So this stuff is not going to go away. This Mischief from Home thing that we've created has been a really important learning tool to show us that we can be doing more during the year, and that's not only good for our community, it's good for our business as
yeah,
well.
I don't know if this is the case with you, but also over the last like couple of days, I have felt myself taking a much more like big picture view of things and less like, oh God, how do we get, you know, how do we hit X, Y, or Z benchmark for this week, and more, yep, how do we figure out so that things are sustainable down the line? And I think, yep, a lot of that is out of necessity. Like we're now at the point where we have to look at the, you know, runway and figure out how to make things sustainable. But so I didn't realize until this hit how much of my day to day was just the next thing, was just, yep, exactly what was 5 feet in front of my face. Yep. And that I think it's a really good reminder to take a step back. There are a lot, yep, of things that I'm seeing that I feel like I wish that I had been paying attention to, or I wish I'd had the chance to like take a step back and look at the bigger picture. And now I have to. So.
Well, that's exactly right. I work off a couple of spreadsheets that basically I say they keep me sane, but I think they actually make me crazy. Mm-hmm. And what they do is tell me day by day, moment by moment, how we're doing. And what I did this week was just wipe it all away and start from zero. Start as if there's nothing, and go from like if you had to build it today. And literally, right after I did that, I went for a walk with my friend Cheryl. We were 6 feet away from each other the whole time, but we went for a nice 2 mile walk. And that hour of really taking a big step back, projecting, looking at a best case scenario, and then saying, okay, well, to make this happen, I need X, Y, and Z. And now being pushed to the point of necessity where I have to ask for it. I don't know about you, Takiya, but asking for help, not my strong suit.
Really? I had never noticed that about you.
Not my strong suit. I don't love it. And it's also helping us see that help as nothing more than what it is. It's some temporary help. It's going to get us over the bridge. And then we're going to be such a better company on the other end. But priority one for a small business, I think, any small business, is not losing any employees, A, to sickness, or B, to layoffs. Nobody, yes, wants to do that. So we're working, you and I talk a lot, and we are working incredibly hard to make sure that we can cover our people who we spend more time with than anybody else, really, besides our partners. It's very important.
Can I ask you why? As like a exercise? Like why? Why does that matter? Because I'm seeing... Honestly, it's because I brought this up recently, but like one of the a salon, spa, whatever that I get facials from laid off like their entire workforce, which was like startling to me. We're seeing reports that like AMC theaters and things like that are going to have massive layoffs because of this, because, you know, even if you are a giant company, if you don't have the revenue coming in, you can't pay it out. And I think my question is like, so if that is viable for other, yeah, like what makes us different? Why not just?
I think being a small business has a lot to do with it, to be honest. Mm-hmm. If you're AMC, you don't see those people as people. They are numbers on a sheet by necessity. You can't know one of 8,000 people who work for you, however many it is. And that's not to say that people at the head of those corporations don't care, but at some point you have to make it work. And if you don't see a path forward, you don't see a path forward. We work directly with everybody that we employ. I know everybody. I know their families. I know their troubles. I know what they bring into work every day, and we value everybody's input so highly. Also, for a small business, the impact of one person's work is so intense, mm-hmm, that losing any one person has a serious, we work at an understaffed level as it is in terms of the amount of work we have to do to be at full capacity. That's the way small business tends to work. If you're not flush with cash, you're not over hiring.
The way all business works right now. That's capitalism. But yes,
frankly,
out of necessity.
There are some big companies, but not so much. But yeah, I think we just, is it too much of a gimme to just say we just care about them enough? I want us to come out of this saying, I really liked working for my company before, but my company kept me safe and sheltered and with healthcare during this, and now I'm even more inspired to go to greater heights and make it even better. And I think that there is actual real, and I mean real, like capitalist value to make sure that people are happy and wanting to work, you know?
Yeah.
I don't say that as of like happy fluffy. I say that as of this is actual real value. Happy fluffy too, but people do their best work when they feel valued. And I think that there is an opportunity for actual real value to come of making sure people's work is appreciated. Can I promise we're not going to have any staffing changes at Mischief over this? I cannot. And that's a scary thing to say.
Yeah.
But I promise it's our best effort. Sorry.
Yeah. I also think people underestimate when you're not the type of company that, you know, is an AMC, is a, you know, hiring many, many people at the same level for a variety of jobs, how expensive and hard it is to hire people. It is very hard to find the right person for the type of events that we want to run, for the type of experience we want our staff to have as a team. It is hard, it is expensive, and it is best not to have to keep doing it. So even it really like even if you know, laying off everyone and somehow getting enough money to rehire an entire team in every single same position, like having to go through that down the line, I think is a
the onboarding alone.
Every time, I can't. Every time, yeah, every time these companies, every time I see someone send another email about, you know, the drastic measures that they're having to take, which, like, I don't envy any of these companies that have to make that decision. It is a really hard, painful decision to lay someone off no matter what. Yeah. And I don't envy these companies having to make that decision. But every time I see one, I'm like, oh, God, and you're going to have to hire people again later. Because that's really tough,
it's and more that expensive. Takes away.
Oh yeah, absolutely, absolutely more expensive, yeah. And it takes away time that you could be dedicating to building the business, to bringing in new customers, to doing all of the things that we're really excited to be doing, you know, on the other side of this. And so I think that it's really important to maintain staff, just because like continuity is how businesses grow.
Yeah, I think also. We're really luckier than a lot of other businesses to even like we're a little bit speaking from a lucky position to even be saying this. If we were a restaurant that had like, you know, more of an even structure of money needed in versus money needed out, whereas with events, so we, to give you people listening a little bit of background, we have most to all of our events from like month 6 to month 1, which is around end of June through the end of January, is really where all of our events happen. That's where you spend all your money, which means that we are spending like crazy in the second half of the year, and then we're just rebuilding in that first half of the year. That's when this hit, right at the down curve. So it's stressful. It's also paused. But we're lucky that we're not like refunding hundreds of thousands of dollars of tickets right now.
Yes, because we don't have so an event in this.
Have had to be canceled, right? And what it has done, though, is stop us putting things on sale and stop those revenue lines, because first of all, who's buying tickets right now? Second of all, a launch is very important. If you don't do well during the launch, you don't get that back. And so we've had to really pause things by necessity, you know, and just sort of like hunker down. So we're like lucky on one hand and really unlucky on the other. But if we were a restaurant, I think the layoff situation would be a lot different.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely. So oof. That was all of the like heavy businessy, scary feelings.
Well, we have some questions that we should go to. One of them is, what can people do to support small businesses right now?
I mean, I think we touched on it, but like buy stuff, buy whatever you can. If you were, one of the things that I saw recently was like, if you were planning to pay for something, like let's say you have a regular workout routine, like you go to a Pilates studio or something, still try to pay for it if you can. Still try to, even if they're doing like a free Zoom or something, still try to contribute something. Buying gift cards that you can use later, buying them right now, helps increase folks' cash flow today, and then you can just use them later. If you can buy, you know, materials or merch or things that will be shipped and don't involve in face-to-face interaction, do that. Do, you know, basically anything that we can do, I think, to keep spending money in this economy will help everyone.
And there's ways to do it.
It's hard, so.
Yeah. There's ways to do it when it's not stuff you don't need or want. So, you, like you said, stuff that you were going to buy anyway. Gift cards. You know, things like that that are going to be turned into value later can really help businesses now. Like, a lot. Because we've never seen it like this. Revenue just went like this, and then it went like this, and then it went like this, and it went like that. But that's what everybody is facing right now. So yeah, if you have the means to do that without harming your own economic whatnot, then that can be really helpful. Long do you think small businesses would be affected in the long run?
I don't know. I mean, I think we're going to come back to New York's a really interesting microcosm, I guess, because I feel like we have a lot of like just like small mom and pop shops or restaurants or studios or things like that. And I think that a lot of those places aren't going to be able to reopen. I think that we are going to see a huge hit to the number of choices that we have, because because closing down and reopening is hard and expensive, and it's a massive challenge. And so I think that there are going to be a lot of places that aren't going to make it. I think that there are also going to be a lot of places that are able to kind of like pivot and refocus on their core business operations and like probably come through it a little bit stronger, come through it with a like renewed focus on what it is that made them a great business to begin with. And so there'll be small businesses that come through that probably change some of their offerings to tighten and focus on their core business. We're just talking about small businesses, so we should stop there. But like, I do not know what some of these corporations like are going to look like. But that I don't have to think about.
My biggest worry with small businesses is, I think this phrase has a different definition, and I think I stole it from the West Wing, but it's useful right here, so I'm going to use it, is like purse tempo, like the willingness of people to spend money after this, because having just seen their life and their economy flash ahead of them, flash in front of their eyes a little bit, like I know personally, we locked down every single excess expense in preparation for the possibility that there's no income coming in and that we have to pay for our lives just personally, you know, just without our income, just in case. And locking all that down and coming up with strategies can sort of put you in a mode, and what it will take for people to sort of like relax and spend money again. And our industry is highly dependent on that. So that's where my nightmare is today. But if we do good work and put out good, exciting things, that can encourage people once this is done to come out and enjoy life again. And we also have to deal with the fact that it's not just economic. There is going to be a massive death toll, and that's going to have a sobering effect on the economy for a very long time, not to mention this human effect. Like, let's not forget that. But if we're talking about money,
I mean, I think that there's a huge psychological effect of just like where we are right now. My roommates and I take like a Clorox wipe anytime we leave the apartment. We're like, we'll just have one in our pocket on us just in case. Like, we have gloves. We like are every time we step through the threshold of this apartment, we go to wash our hands. Like, there is a psychological effect of this care, but also concern that we have for catching coronavirus. And I don't know that that is going to dissipate immediately once people start saying it's okay, right? It took as long as it takes, I think, as long as it takes citizens to get with the program of like staying inside as a whole, not just like you or I, but like as long as it takes citizens to get with the program of staying inside is how long it will take them to feel comfortable going back out again. And as you can tell, it's taking a long time. Because it's just, it's going to take a minute. Like it, you know, and it's really weird and kind of scary because our business does depend on it. And like so many people that we know in this industry depends on people wanting to go and gather in large crowds. And I think that there is a very psychological effect that's going to make it so that people are nervous gathering in large crowds after being told for so long how unsafe it is.
Yes.
So that'll be fun.
That said, we are resilient and people are going to be itching for a good time when this is done. And itching
I think
normalcy.
Yeah, I think one of the reasons that we get into events in the first place is because this is a human thing. Like this is a human desire for connection, right? People are going to want to be in to go to events. People are going to want to celebrate. People are going to want to do this. And I think it's just about, you know, being there and ready when they do and making sure that everyone feels like they have the safe space to do it. And I think Mischief events are really lucky because like we focus a lot on community and making sure that everyone feels safe and taken care of. And I think that that will go a long way once we are through this.
Yeah. So question, we're an events company. Why don't we just cancel everything? If we want to make everybody feel safe and everything, I've answered this on Twitter at length, but why did all events not just shut down immediately? Do you want to answer, or do you want me to go into my spiel?
Why don't you go into your spiel?
I'll do a mini spiel. There's a tweet thread I can point you to.
The one thing that I will say is that, and I think that this is a big part of your spiel because you get into what force majeure is and all of those sorts of things. This question isn't a question for events companies, right? This question is a question for hotels. This question is a question for convention centers. This question is a question, you know, like it's not, I don't want to say it's not up to us, but in a lot of ways, it's not our choice.
There's a small company running an event at the Nut between a lot of really big companies that will put the screws to you if the small company that wants nothing more than to keep its people safe and alive decides. So we're a small company. We have a bunch of events in July and August. Why haven't we canceled them yet? And the answer is that we haven't been forced to, or the venue hasn't told us that we wouldn't face fines in order to. So when you're talking about a multi-billion-dollar hotel chain that will say, oh, well, sorry, you can cancel that event. You're now liable for hundreds of thousands of dollars because that's the cancellation clause. You have to pay them every dollar that they would have made when you guarantee a certain number of rooms, and guaranteeing a certain number of rooms is the only way that you get room nights. Same thing with the convention centers. You have cancellation clauses with the talent contracts. If you don't invoke force majeure, you can't cancel talent. You cannot. They get the full amount if you don't invoke force majeure. And then what is invoking force majeure? It's not a button you flip. You sort of have to just like put pressure. So now that everything's canceling all over the world, it's really hard to deny that this is force majeure and this is something that you have to do, that you're being forced to do, that localities are being forced to do. But events can't just shut down because the big companies around them with their big lawyers that can make you do it can extract hundreds of thousands of dollars out of you if you don't only cancel when you're forced. So that's my spiel in a nutshell. There's more online. I can write it up, or there's a media Twitter. I don't know.
I think it's really interesting. Events are a really good kind of like cog in this machine. We fit into so many different industries, right? Like, you know, like the massive events, not necessarily ours, but like the massive events have an impact on the local economy in like big ways. Like they are like from flights to hotels to people spending money at restaurants and things like that. Like it's very, very large. I think it's interesting to track the decision-making process of when to cancel an event from the event organizer to the hotel or venue to, you know, honestly, the, like, the hotel's answer is going to be that they have to make money, right? Like, that's what, how yeah. they enter into these contracts. To, like, the insurers, because there are going to be a lot of insurance companies that are involved in all of this mess. To the yeah. banks that these larger companies are leveraged through or, like, have debt through. Like, there is always someone on the other end that the person is answering to. And I think that that's yeah. a really interesting kind of train to follow this down. Events are just you don't realize how many places and people that it touches until you really start to unpack the layers or run one, but I don't recommend that.
It's wild being in a position to explain this to people and have it be useful. I never thought that would happen. I never thought anybody would care what a force majeure clause is or why, you know, some of these contracts are really wild and exploitative, and why the evolution of these contracts so that it's just what you sign, it's what everybody signs, how they could be so sort of injurious, you know?
Yeah.
So those are some of the many, you know. Okay, I have a question for you, Tokyo. Oh, sorry.
We've got a question in the chat. All right, do you want to go to the chat or me?
Let's go to the chat first. Chat first.
As people who work a lot with online community building, now that a lot of schools, businesses, etc. are going online, do you have any tips for a meaningful community building digitally? That's how all of my community building started. My specific conundrum, or literally rates, is that Ralts? I can't see. I am the student engagement person at a university-owned museum, and the university has completely shut down. So, like, it's weird. We live in weird times. Everything is weird.
And this is very, this is sort of bringing us back to our origins. This yeah. is what we did for 10 years before our events became physical. You know, we started podcast in 2005. The Leaky Cauldron was the only digital way we could collect all the Harry Potter fans and have them have fun together. We organized the Potter Party through a website on the Leaky Cauldron. Like, this was all digital, and I think what's been a little bit invigorating for me this week is that going back to those precepts of what's the best way to, like, bring people together online has reminded me about our roots. That's not answering the question, though. What do you think are good practices?
I think that, one, look at what you would be doing IRL and see if there's a digital analogous. So, like, for instance, a panel or a speaker or something, you can always do via Zoom. You can do different types of live streams. You can do, honestly, there are a lot of people sitting around not doing anything. So, like, a Facebook group where you're getting people together during the day to talk about something, I think would go really well. I personally start with, like, honestly, in any strange times, any weird times, I start with, like, what I would normally do and then go back from that. There's a lot of cool stuff to be done with, like, conference calls and, like, getting people on the phone together. Honestly, there's really cool stuff to do with, like, group watching things, like do a Netflix party.
We're doing it tonight yeah. with Outbreak.
Yep. So, like, there are a lot of different tools. And so I would start with, like, what is it that I'm trying to accomplish? Like, what would I normally do? And then, like, how can I make that happen virtually or digitally? And people are really receptive. Honestly, I think that doing stuff digitally will give you an audience outside of just, you know, the people who could have walked up. It'll give you kind of, like, you can reach to different universities. I would wonder, because you say that you're at a university museum. I would wonder if there are, like, other local or, like, nationwide places that are similar that you could team up with and Ooh, do, like, a group thing.
The best advice I can give is very similar to what Takiya is saying, which is the guiding principle through all those Leaky Cauldron years, which was, What do I want to do right now with fans? Okay, how to make it happen digitally. That's what led everything. I want to talk to more fans. Oh, well, I can do this on a podcast. I need to theorize. Well, here's a forum thread. I don't know where there are Harry Potter parties. All right, well, let's make a site that that organizes it all. You go through the instinct of what the community first of what the community would really benefit from, and then try and get as close as you can to it digitally, and you'll find people are very willing to help. And I don't know about you, Tsukiya, but this I have felt in the company this week the relief that we are still interacting with people, and the mm-hmm. I think it's actually been really helpful for us.
I think is hilarious is how often you've said this week and it's Monday.
Oh no, it's one long day. Somebody said to me the other day, like, I need to get this XYZ thing from you. I'm like, no, it has been one long day. I don't know what you're talking about. We're punctuated by a couple of showers. That's all.
But yeah, I agree. I think that honestly, people are really craving social interaction. So like anything you can do to like reach out and touch and like feel like you're talking to another person is really helpful. And so I agree that like people are really enjoying the ability to engage and to like talk to people.
Yeah, cool. Well, thank you for that question, literally, Ralts, like Pokemon. my question for you, Tsukiya, was what was the worst? Maybe this is an unfair question. What was your worst moment through all this so far? What did you do? Like, how did it present? Did you just like stressy or hide in the bed or like what? Like, what was and how did you like deal with it?
this is a terrible question.
It's a terrible question.
I wept on my couch for a little while. as you do. Was that my worst moment? Yeah. Look, if anyone in business tells you they don't cry over it, they're lying.
Oh.
So I like there have definitely been tears. There's also been a lot of like I have been sleeping so much.
Yeah.
Like there has been a lot of like I can't actually so I will say that my worst moment, I guess, I don't know. I cried for a little while and then I stared at a blank spreadsheet document for like 2 hours. Just was like, I don't know what to put here. Like, I don't know.
That's such a you panic moment. If I imagine Tsukiya panicking, it's being unable to finish to play with Excel. That's like your home. How?
I was just like, I don't know what to do. Like, this is, it was like writer's block, I guess. But like,
do you know I had the exact same moment? Will walked in. I was on a spreadsheet, and Will, my partner, walked in, and he was looking at the spreadsheet. It was just blank, and it just had months on top. And I was just, and I said the exact same thing. And I was like, I don't know what to put here. I don't know what. But I breathed, got through it, you know. I think for me it was actually before we did our work from home. It was the moment I realized it was going to be an industry changing event. I came home from work one night and just like had a breakdown. Just was like this is gonna destroy everything we've built for 10 years and just lost it. And this is when a good partner comes in handy. But again, all these bad moments, they happen and you get through them and you rely on help from people and you make plans. And if people like what you do and are willing to help, be willing to ask for help, because that's what's going to get us through all this.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So this is an episode of Making Mistakes. Oh, do you have another question? Did you see something?
There's another question in the chat. I think is an interesting question.
Go to pandemic snacks. Okay, so can I say that before this all happened, and not even before this all happened, I was already a little bit stress eating, and I have made more brownies in the last 2 months than any human being needs brownies. Here's how bad it is. Yesterday we got an Instacart delivery and there was another box of brownies, which we have we finish a box of brownies and there had better be another one because I just need there to always be brownies in this house. And so we got an Instacart delivery and they gave us chocolate cake instead of brownies, which like fuck off.
Same thing, though.
No, it is not. It is not the same thing.
You're right. It's not the same thing. I thought it was fudgy.
No. And so I'm going to have to venture outside to get brownie mix.
Listen, don't get a virus while getting brownie mix.
So let me hard recommend brownies. I like to doctor them a little bit. You know, you add some, I don't know, chili pepper. Like you add some little things here and there to doctor the box brownies, and they're great.
Ooh, chili pepper. I've been, so I got some, I've been carbing like crazy. I don't usually, I'm gluten intolerant. And so I don't like, just, it's just easier not to eat carbs. It's just, or not like an excess of them. Like, you know, I still, I'm not like keto or anything crazy like that. It's not that it's crazy, but you know what I mean? But I've just said, screw it. And I just need to eat. I need to have eating just sort of be like easy. So I got gluten-free bread, and I'll just go in and toast gluten-free bread and like just peanut butter and like honey on top, but like 5-6 times a day plus meals. So, you know, not good. Not good at all. I am still exercising.
We all agreed that we're going to gain 15 pounds and no one's going to.
It's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's fine. If it happens to everyone, then nobody will care. You know, it'll just be like our worldview changed a little bit. It's fine. Listen, I am fully, there was this article about, from this mom that was like, I am not following a homeschool plan for my children. We are watching television. We are eating carbs. We are getting through this. I'm teaching them to be kind, and that's it right now. Like, it's okay. And that's sort of how I feel about snacking. You need to feel good. You need to snack right now. Feel good. Just do you.
Yes. You know? Sam can confirm the Ghirardelli dark chocolate brownie mix is the best. Hard recommend.
Ghirardelli dark chocolate, period.
Yeah, I also do enjoy, what's the one with the fudge packet? It's like, it might be Duncan Hines, double fudge.
Any of them, really.
Well, it comes with a specific fudge packet, the Duncan Hines double fudge. I made a box and forgot to put the fudge packet in, and so I saved it for the next box. So that box had two fudge packets, and I would recommend that.
So it was like a mistake and then a double not mistake.
It was. It was like a mistake
and then a double. One thing went wrong and two things went right.
Yes.
Excellent. All right, well, this is Make New Mistakes. This is a weird episode of Make New Mistakes. We record this podcast every 2 weeks. It comes out on whatever podcatcher you listen to, and we're here for your friendly open discussion about business and failing and getting better at it.
yes, that, all of that.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you. Thanks for listening. Bye.